Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Tonight's guest is Dr. Claude Swanson, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Or you can send an instant message with your question to the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Hello, Fran. And I know that we have a little bit of a different schedule today. We'll tease our guest a little bit. We're going to go to a break in a few minutes. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Claude Swanson with us. Some of you from listening to the show are familiar with Dr. Swanson, and some are not. And as we'll be talking about in his introduction, he sort of comes from the world of mainstream science, mainstream physics, and was moved to combine that discipline with studying some, let's say, unconventional physics, which, you know, we call it unconventional, but it may turn out to be mainstream at some point.
Soon, I hope.
Yeah. And I know, you know, there was, you know, from reading, you know, Dr. Swanson's, you know, new book, in Life Force, which we'll talk about, there's a lot of talk about ancient civilizations, and you know, we have a tendency to think of ancient civilizations as you know, people inventing the wheel or you know, sitting around fires and hunting. But as you know, you'll find out some of the ancients had some ideas that mesh with some sophisticated scientific principles of today, and perhaps they were at least advanced or more advanced than the civilization that we find ourselves residing in today. So I don't want to waste too much time, so I think it's a good time. Let's get our break out of the way, and when we come back, we're going to have our fabulous guest, Dr. Claude Swanson, so stay with us.
Heal your loss and grief through these spiritual hypnotherapy CDs. Titles include Talking with the Dead, The Inner Healer, Meeting Your Higher Self, and A Past Life Regression and Between Life Exploration. Dr. Holly Holmes Meredith is Director of HCH Institute for Hypnotherapy and Psychospiritual Trainings. Go to hypnotherapytraining.com to sample and order her CDs. These CDs will empower you in your healing and transformation.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. And tonight's guest is Dr. Claude Swanson. Claude is a physicist who was always curious to understand the world at a deeper level. He attended MIT, later did his graduate work at Princeton University, where he received a PhD in physics. At Princeton, he was awarded a National Science Foundation Fellowship and a Putnam Fellowship. Dr. Swanson later formed his own consulting company that carried out studies in applied physics for both commercial and governmental agencies, including the U.S. Army and the CIA. For the last 20 years, he's managed to combine his so-called conventional career in the pursuit of unconventional physics. And it's the unconventional part that led him down many paths, including underwater research, haunted houses, remote viewing, psychokinesis, remote healing, and many other investigative pursuits. And most importantly, he is the current reigning president of Forever Family Foundation. And he's the author of a two-part series. Some of you have had the good fortune to read the first part, The Synchronized Universe, and he just released the second portion of that series, Life Force, The Scientific Basis. Welcome, Dr. Swanson.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's a real pleasure to be here.
And, you know, I neglected to mention the website for those interested is synchronizeduniverse.com. You know, Claude, there are a few well-credentialed physicists today that are in the forefront, and I consider you to be one of them. And your scientific investigations are leaving these physicists espousing principles that many would classify as spiritual. You know, I mean, is this because you and others are finding that we're connected to the universe as opposed to being separate and distinct?
Well, I think, you know, what got me involved in this line of research some 20 years ago, Bob, is was remote viewing, first of all. I began discovering that there are ways that people can be trained to access these other dimensions, other kinds of information. And when you start doing that, you learn that distance doesn't matter and time doesn't matter. You can go forward or backward in time. and across huge distances without a weakening of the signal. So I began realizing that the forces that I'd been taught about in school only scratch the surface of the things the universe really does. So when you start looking down that road of what else doesn't fit the old paradigm, I began discovering spiritual phenomena, out-of-body experiences, consciousness, basically, just seems to be a very special kind of energy that doesn't follow the materialistic rules that we're used to in Western science, and it continues after death. It has very special properties, so it keeps on going. So, it led me into a fascinating area here of all kinds of new things that are very, very exciting.
Mm. And one of the things that we love about you is that you're a hands-on kind of a scientist, and that, you know, you're, of course, you had this traditional education, but as you've mentioned, you started off actually participating and doing remote viewing yourself. I know you've gone to the pyramids and done a little research there. You've investigated crop circles. You've done underwater research. So, you know, it's one thing to be, you know, theorizing or sitting in a laboratory, but it's another thing to actually get out there and have some personal experience. Because I guess what it boils down to is sometimes the personal experience is more enlightening than the research, wouldn't you say?
I would. It's hard sometimes when you read a book to really understand what's going on. I know when I went to the crop circles the first time, I thought of it as primarily a visual experience. I'd seen the pictures and I'd heard Art Bell and people like that talk about it in terms of the higher dimensional shapes and things like that. But when I actually arrived at the crop circles, I felt this very special energy. And every crop circle has a different energy. Some are very powerful. Some of them cause film cameras or video cameras to fail. Some cause batteries to drain. So they have very measurable physical effects. But the strongest thing is you feel the difference. And every crop circle felt different. And I wasn't prepared for that. And that was kind of my introduction, in a way, to what we call subtle energy, or the healing energy that Reiki healers use. Crop circles seem to produce that same kind of energy, and the patterns that the wheat is swirled in plays an important role in that. So, that was something I never would have expected if I hadn't actually gone there and done it. And, my new book, Life Force, The Scientific Basis, is really focusing on that kind of energy, because it seems to be the key to healing.
Yeah, and this energy that we talk about, as you point out, I mean, people call it by different terms. I mean, you might call it, you know, chi or life force or many other terms for a special energy that flows. But, you know, you mentioned the crop circles, and we've just briefly mentioned, you know, the pyramids and sacred sites. And one would always wonder, you know, why they were erected in the exact locations that they were. I mean, sometimes with the pyramids, the quarries where they had to get the massive boulders from, you know, were great distances away. You know, so evidently, I think you found that there was there's a specific reason why some of these sacred sites and pyramids are built where they are.
Exactly. There's often a flow of energy in the ground. There's often aquifers that carry the energy. There are often dikes or special structures in the ground that seem to carry the energy. They're often called ley lines that carry this energy and concentrates it at the sacred sites. And that charges up the sacred site with a special energy. It makes it more powerful. So when you go to a place like Stonehenge or Avebury in England or the Great Pyramid in Egypt, you feel that special energy that's there. It doesn't feel just like a normal place. You have a sense of the sacred. And oftentimes there's a sense that the the barrier between dimensions is thinner. You have more access to the other side when you're there. And that seems to be one of the reasons these sites were constructed, and it's one of the ways they were used by the shaman and the priests of those times to help get access to the other side, to communicate with spirits, to use that spiritual energy for protecting the village, things like that. So they seem to have an understanding of how to manipulate this energy to access those other dimensions.
So do you envision a time when we get a little bit more sophisticated with the study of these subtle energies, where we can harness, you know, the energy to enable us to have some of this, you know, enable some of this psychic phenomena to occur more frequently, or perhaps even, you know, reach other dimensions?
I really do, Bob. That's part of the point of doing this second book, because this energy, which we call subtle energy or chi or prana, that the Reiki healers use, that is a special energy that seems to be present whenever we do access other dimensions, when we start to access the other side. When that energy becomes present, the conscious mind has a lot more power at affecting phenomena around it. And that's when things start to happen that our current physics says are impossible. You know, you get those things more and more when this energy builds up. So I wanted to understand what that energy is, and you know, and how you accumulate it, how you build it up, and what it's made of. And what I found is that there's actually a surprising amount of technology, a surprising amount of understanding of this energy in some places in the world. So I tried to pull that all together in this book.
Well, and you did a masterful job. I know that there are 700 pages of material in Life Force. I don't know where you had the time. And I must admit that I'm only on page 475, so I still have a while to go. But I did notice that throughout the book, I mean, there are two main themes that you talk about. You know, one is, you know, the power of consciousness, and two, that you talk about this energy. There's an enormous amount of energy in the vacuum, you know. Now, you know, when I went to school, I was always taught that, you know, a vacuum was void of energy, that nothing could go on in a vacuum. So apparently I was taught wrong.
Well, yeah, well, so was I. when I was in grad school, I mean, you know, we knew I can explain it in a really simple way. There's something called the uncertainty principle. It's basic to quantum physics. And what it kind of says is that if you try to look in a very small space of distance, the uncertainty in the momentum becomes great. If you try to look at very short times, the uncertainty in the energy becomes great. So as you start to look in the vacuum over very small times and distances, the uncertainty in energy can become huge. So it means that even though on the average you might think the vacuum has no energy in it, it is a fluctuating energy. And on the smaller and smaller scales, the fluctuations can become huge. So the question is there some way to tap into that? And that's what a lot of people have focused on, and some people believe they have succeeded in some of these techniques. When I was a grad student, we were taught how to calculate the amount of energy that's in the vacuum, and what you end up with is a number that approaches infinity. In fact, the trick is how to keep it from becoming infinite. And so you have these cutoffs that you apply. You kind of say, okay, well, beyond a certain point, we're going to neglect the energy, so we keep it finite. But it's still, you know, I'm in a gallon of water, you have enough energy to power the whole country, you know, for months or something. Huge numbers.
Yeah.
So there's potential there, and that's why I think this is part of the new frontier in science, as we learn how to tap into that energy.
And when you think that, you know, the universe is the vast majority of the universe is empty space, that empty space is teeming with a power that we may one day be able to utilize, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. We have to wonder whether maybe some other advanced civilizations may have already figured out how to do that. You know, we just don't know for sure. But there are all kinds of strange phenomena that happen in physics today, where it's hard to explain why things happened. And it might be that we're seeing some of these phenomena now and don't yet quite understand what we're seeing.
Mm. Now, you talk a lot about torsion. And the Russians certainly have done a tremendous amount of research in that area, a lot of it that we're not even privy to. But is torsion a different force, you know, or is that, you know, part of the life force? I mean, can you just give us a brief explanation? I know it has to do with spin, but maybe you can, in lay terms, you could tell us what torsion is.
Yeah, in this book, one reason it's so big is that I tried to pull together what we know from many different researchers over the centuries. The thing about subtle energy or torsion or the life force is it manifests in different ways, depending on what experiments you're doing, what process you're doing. And so it's been discovered by many different people, but it's kind of a weak force normally, so it tends to get kind of shuttled off to the side. A great research chemist in Germany in the 1840s spent 40 years researching this energy. He wrote books about it. He did amazing experiments that he was very, very careful, you know, in checking out. And he found the rules for this energy, but it only depended on certain people who could see this energy when they spent a couple hours in the dark. They could see this energy, and he made notes on how it behaved and what it did and the rules, etc. But at the same time, electromagnetism was being discovered and worked out by Maxwell and Faraday. And it is a much more dramatic force. It's easier to document. You don't have to have psychics looking at the energy to be able to tell what it's doing. You can just measure things with little meters. So it kind of won the day, and it became the dominant force, the dominant discovery of that century, the 19th century. And this other energy kind of got left behind. And then so in the 20th century, it got discovered again. And Wilhelm Reich came along and discovered it, and several other people did as well. And then the Russians came along in the mid part of the century and discovered it yet again from a different perspective. An astronomer, astrophysicist named Kozarev, discovered it, and it was because of how he watched a binary star system, a pair of stars, how they interacted, and he realized that this energy had to be present to explain what he saw. So it keeps getting discovered, and so what I wanted to do was take each piece from each discoverer and try to compare them and add them all together and see, okay, what do we know about this energy and this force from all these different people? And that's really what the book is about.
Mm.
And what I discovered, and the bottom line is that the Russian work seems to have gone very, very far. It appears to have gotten government support for at least two or three decades. They have devices, they have patents, they have equations, and so they know a lot about this energy.
Mm.
So I was just really trying to, as best I could, track down what had been done and to figure out what we could say we know about this energy.
Yeah. Fran and I both read, I had showed it to Fran because I thought it was fascinating. You outlined an experiment that was done in a laboratory with pranic healing affecting cancer cells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, these are other examples of this energy and how powerful and how important it can be. There's two kinds of experiments I talk about in the book. One involves a Qigong master. It turns out one of the reasons that this science is starting to pick up in terms of research is because we're discovering that some people in the world have really become very good at creating this energy and controlling this energy. So they can make concentrated amounts of this energy at will. And they're called Qigong masters. It's a form of Chinese martial art and a healing art. They learn to control the two polarities of qi, the yin and the yang, in the body, to gather it up and to emit it from their fingers or their hands or other parts of their body. And one of them, Jixing Li, a man that I know in California, did an experiment with a doctor at Penn State in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where he had an incubator with several petri dishes with cancer cells in them. On you know, different shelves, there were different petri dishes. And he would ask Jixing Li, 2,000-plus miles away, okay, direct your energy at this particular petri dish on the second shelf, the second one over. And Jixing Li could cause the cancer cells in that dish to die and not affect the other cells in the dish, in the incubator from 2,000 miles away. And it's a very dramatic effect. You can watch the cells all begin to grow and increase as cancer cells do, but then when he sent his energy at them, the ones he was aiming at began to die, and all did die. So it's an example of how powerful this energy can be. Turns out that in China, quite a few studies have been done on using this energy against cancer, and it looks like it's pretty effective, and so I have some of those studies in the book as well.
Yeah. What was very intriguing was that, scientist was trying to figure out how, even though the results were extremely productive and positive, he wanted to see how he could improve the percentage of the cancer cells being healed, and he came up with the idea of introducing karma, and he actually, I believe, had a lab assistant before the healing took place, make a donation to charity, with the intention of doing good, and he found that once the karma was introduced, the accuracy went up like another 10 percentage points. So that.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? This was done by Professor Joey Jones at the University of California, Irvine, a 10-year study, thousands and thousands of cases. He was using a human type of cell that is a special strain that's been bred for experiments, and he was actually basically exposing them to high levels of radiation, of gamma rays, to try to kill them. And he would expose them to so much radiation that they would then die. About half of them would die in 24 hours if nothing else was done. Then he would ask his healers to send their energy to attempt to rescue or heal the cells to keep them alive. And that's where his work has been going now for 10 or more years. And initially he was finding, well, that 50% die in 24 hours if nothing's done. As you add more energy, more of this pranic energy, the survival rate goes up, and he had it up as high as 88% if you send healing energy both before and after you expose the cells to gamma rays. But then he could never get it above that until he had the idea of karma, and what if we do give them a karmic gift with the intention that a good karma from our charitable contribution goes to their welfare. And that's when the survival rate went from 88 to 96%. So, yeah, it really is exciting, and it shows something really profound, which is karma is real, and we can now prove it in the laboratory.
Yeah, and it was also interesting that they found that, by so-called, conditioning the laboratory before an experiment would take place, by infusing it with some of this, positive energy, that it would affect the the results, and I guess that's something that a lot of scientists really should have to, pay attention to, because it's certainly worth a try to see if that, there are so many different experiments going on regarding intention and healing and prayer and so forth. I heard a lot of metaphysical practitioners talk about, you know, cleansing a room, and, you know, I never really paid much attention to it. But now, you know, from a scientific point of view, there may be some basis to it, but, you know, with subtle energy.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the discovery of germs. It's probably as important a revolution as when Pasteur discovered bacteria and germs, because, that showed them that in a hospital, you have to use antiseptics and you have to kill the germs or else patients get reinfected. And so that was a revolution in hospitals to start using sterilization to get rid of the germs when you're trying to heal people. Mm. And it's kind of the equivalent here, except that it's energetic. It's subtle energy, which has that negative effect, and it can linger. And oftentimes, we don't even know what has gone on in a room or a building where we're trying to do experiments. If that building's been around for decades, there's no telling what types of things might have happened there over the years, and there may be harmful subtle energy which is still lingering. So, he was very smart. This is Joey Jones again. Very smart to ask his healers, his pranic healers, if they needed to do anything to clean the energy of the room before starting the experiments, and that's what they recommended. Yeah,
right. And we are talking with Dr. Claude Swanson, author of Life Force, the Scientific Papers. We're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, I'd like to get into a little bit about auras and Curlian photography and etheric and astral bodies and things of that nature. So stay with us, and we're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we'll have more with Dr. Claude Swanson.
Heal your loss and grief through these spiritual hypnotherapy CDs. Titles include Talking with the Dead, The Inner Healer, Meeting Your Higher Self, and A Past Life Regression and Between Life Exploration. Dr. Holly Holmes Meredith is director of HCH Institute for Hypnotherapy and Psychospiritual Trainings. Go to hypnotherapytraining.com to sample and order her CDs. These CDs will empower you in your healing and transformation.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.winbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest here tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. This show is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. And before we get back to Dr. Swanson, we have a few foundation updates for our listeners. First, we know hard economic times are upon us. Our supporters write, they say they love the radio show, they want to see it continue. They love the work of Forever Family Foundation, but they just don't have extra dollars these days to send our way. Even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work that we do, and yet we want to do so much more. So this is how everyone can help without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. But you don't have to stop there. If your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work from Amazon. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find your items in one of their 700-plus online stores, sites, and hotels, a portion of what you spend is, again, donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. And I just want to remind everybody that our Forever Family Foundation annual conference is coming up in Fort Myers, Florida, very soon, November 13th and 14th, with a pre-conference activity dinner on Friday night, November 12th, with trans medium Suzanne Northrop at a banquet dinner and a meet and greet with the scientists and presenters who will be at the conference. Check it all out at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. On our event page, or right on the first page, there's a burst you can click on to get all the conference information, or give me a call and I'll talk with you about the conference at 631-425-7707. And quickly, coming up in December, we have three holidays past scheduled this year. One is in Bethel, Connecticut on December 4th with Angelina Diana and Evidence of an Afterlife by Dave Kane. In Iselin, New Jersey, Janet Nohavik on December 11th. And on Saturday, December 18th, Angelina Diana at the Melville Marriott in Melville, New York. And as always, our Holidays Past raffle is going. Win a one-hour phone reading with one of five mediums: Bobby Allison, Angelina Diana, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Laura Lynn Jackson, or Kathy Tell. It's just $5 a chance. And back to you, Bob.
All right, and we are back with our guest, the esteemed Dr. Claude Swanson. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. You know, Claude, we hear a lot about auras, and again, it's something I never really paid much attention to, but there may be some scientific basis. I mean, the theory is that some people have the ability to see auras with the visible eye. I mean, can they also be measured scientifically?
To some extent, I think we're getting a lot closer to that. When I took a course in Reiki many years ago, we had a strange event that happened in the afternoon. We spent the whole day doing exercises to get into a relaxed, sensitive state, practicing feeling energy and, you know, a meditative type of state. And as a scientist who's maybe a little too fond of coffee, I tend not to be in that meditative state as often as I should be. But it was very good for me, and I found myself in a, you know, in a good place, and I was feeling the energy. And then we had a power failure. Now, sometimes power failures happen when you build up a lot of energy in a place, and so I can't really say whether there was a coincidence there or not, but I was elected to go down the back hallway to find the fuse box in this apartment, which was pitch black, and as I was feeling my way down the hall, I could hear the owner behind me trying to give me directions. I turned around to look at her, and I could see an outline, maybe about 4 feet high and 2 feet across, fuzzy, light bluish-gray outline, which was not her body. I mean, I could not see anything physical, even the hand in front of my face, but I could see this blurb, and I hadn't expected it. So if I can see auras, then I think almost anyone can probably see auras in the right conditions. Now, there are some technologies, and I talk about this in the book, that claim to be able to measure auras. The one that seems to be working the best that I'm aware of right now is called the GDV, which really is a form of Kirlian photography, and it creates your aura with a computer, but it has been shown to be very accurate. So, you know, I think this technology is coming along. Mm. The biggest discovery I made in writing the book is that we probably now understand what the aura is made of. It's been very hard for scientists to measure it because we know about electricity and magnetism, and most of our tools are based on that, and it doesn't show up very well in that type of energy regime. But the Russian torsion work appears to have hit the right answer, that the aura is made up of this energy called torsion energy, which is created inside the body when by the DNA. Every time it makes a little biophoton in the body, it probably also makes torsion energy. And this energy will be around the body like a cloud, and it'll give you all the information about what's happening inside the body. But it's a different kind of energy. So it's a clue to a whole new approach to measuring the aura, and I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to develop better tools over the next few years based on this discovery.
Mm. So, you know, what's intriguing there is that, so, you know, we all have different patterns, evidently, of torsion waves, you know, that make up these auras. So, you know, if we all have these different patterns, then I assume we all have these patterns are of different frequency. So maybe, you know, these frequency matches have something to do with our access to information, whether it be from past lives or other dimensions or afterlife communication. You know, maybe it all comes down to patterns in the torsion waves.
That's a theory I'm very fond of, actually, Bob. I tend to believe that as well. I tend to suspect that the torsion waves are kind of created by the DNA, and as you may or may not know, I have a whole chapter in the book about one of the really exciting areas in the past 20 years has been biophotons, that we now know that inside the body, the DNA molecules are constantly creating and absorbing little packets of light called biophotons. And these control other molecules in the body. They send signals through the body, and they actually create inside the body a hologram of light that tells every cell where it belongs in the overall picture. The hologram is like a blueprint of where the body is supposed to be. Then outside the body, this torsion field was also created at the same moment that the biophotons were created. It's like a duplicate copy of the same pattern outside the body in torsion energy. So this is really an exciting advance in, you know, in what kind of keeps our body governed, what governs our body, why when we have problems, cancer, when we have things going wrong, it's oftentimes because the pattern of energy has gotten the wrong imprint first, and it is then being followed by the cells and will lead to illness. And so we now have evidence that when that starts to happen, the body's response is to try to strengthen the pattern, the correct pattern, so the cells will get back on track. And I actually show in the book holograms of certain parts of the body when there's an illness, throughout the body's energy system, through the acupuncture points, it'll create little hologram images of the part of the body that's having the trouble, and it'll be telling it, hey, buck up, this is the pattern, this is your blueprint, and it tries to make it strong enough to correct the illness.
Mm.
So it's really an exciting understanding of how the body controls healing and health. And so I think with things like this, we're going to be able to make some advances in terms of,
Yeah, one thing I learned from the book, from the Life Force, was that I didn't know much about, acupuncture, but evidently we all have these channels within our body where it's not where blood flows through, it's just energy channels, and I guess they're connected to by meridians and chakras and things of that nature. And I think I may have mentioned this to you off the air, but I had an experience a couple of weeks ago while I was reading your book, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had a really sharp pain that was on the inside of my foot, and it just would happen every 10 seconds. It felt like somebody was sticking a needle into me, and it just wouldn't stop, and it went on for about 7 or 8 hours. And then the next day, lo and behold, I passed a kidney stone. So I took a look at your book, and I started doing a little more research there, and you had some diagrams, and I looked at the pressure point or whatever you call it,
the acupoint.
Mm-hmm. Acupoint that's mm-hmm. associated with the the bladder area, and it was exactly where that pain was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friend, maybe there's something to this stuff,
Yeah, well that's the really one of the wonderful things as sort of Western medicine has met Eastern medicine over the past 20 years. And the Chinese now and the Koreans and to some extent the Americans as well are applying Western scientific methods to all of this age-old teaching from the Chinese. It's 4,000, 5,000 years old. And one of the examples, like what you just said, they will go after an acupoint on the foot that is supposed to be, according to the Chinese, associated with vision. And then they'll be doing various types of brain scans to look at the brain activity and how the brain responds when you poke that acupoint on the toe.
Mm.
And they find, sure enough, if you poke the acupoint that's associated with vision, the visual cortex of the brain lights up, and it does it in exactly the way predicted.
Right. When you were talking before about the biophotons, within and the duplicate body, made up of a torsion. Were you talking about what some people refer to as a like an etheric body?
Yes, that's part of it, exactly. That outside the body, that this torsion field creates several different layers. It has an etheric body, which is very closely associated with energy exchange in the body, and then there's also other larger fields or layers of this energy field outside the body associated with emotion and with thought and things like this. And most of what we know about these fields comes from Eastern medicine, from the Hindu Ayurvedic tradition and from the Chinese, where they have clairvoyants who, of course, have studied for many years and become very sensitive. They can see these energies, they can watch them, and they can feel them. That's our primary source of energy. So we're trying to track this with our scientific tools as best we can to check out all these different parts.
Yeah, and some of the power and capabilities utilizing
this subtle energy at great distances is mind-boggling, and also that how it can affect material things. I mean, the life force outlines many experiments. I mean, one where water is infused with subtle energy, and it actually without touching it, you know, just by thought, and it changed the composition, right, and also the taste of the water.
Exactly. That that healers, or really any of us with some training, can learn how to send this energy, and it does not seem to matter how far you want to send it. If you envision and hold in your mind firmly the destination, the target where you want to send it, you can send this energy very great distances. And the people who are most practiced at it typically are healers, and some of the most adept of all are the Qigong masters in China. One of the best ones is named Dr. Yan Jin, who also received a Western-style medical education, but he was very gifted with Qigong from a young age. And the physics department at the national their national laboratory, basically, in China in the 90s, began conducting experiments with him to see, well, just how much can you do? Are there any limits to your ability? And they did experiments with radioactive sources, americium, which is a metal, a radioactive metal that decays and gives off byproducts. And our science says the decay of such a thing is supposed to be constant over time. But they found that if they asked him to make it decay faster, he could do it. And if they asked him to make it decay slower, he could do it. And if they took him 1,000 miles away and asked him to change it, he was still able to do it. This, along with the water and with laser beams and other types of real hard science type measurements that we normally think of as being difficult for the mind to affect, but we're finding out that with this energy, it really can affect physical processes.
Yeah. What's also intriguing to me is the fact that it seems that some of these telepathic or psychic abilities can be enhanced based on certain locations and certain times and certain astrological positions. In other words, you can greatly increase your odds of being able to have these psychic abilities by paying attention to your surroundings.
There's an American scientist named Spottiswood who began looking at all the remote viewing data and all the ESP experiments he could get his hands on. These are hundreds, maybe even thousands of different tests. Put them into a computer and began looking to find what is it in the environment that makes ESP or remote viewing work the best. He looked at thunderstorms, he looked at position on the earth, time of day, etc. He tried everything. The effect he found that was the strongest is what stars are overhead. And when the constellation Virgo is overhead, your ESP accuracy, your ability to receive a psychic message, is 4 times higher than average.
Mm-hmm.
And this does not depend on day or night, but it only depends on the star position. It's quite a dramatic result. I talked to one of the great remote viewers, Joe McMonagle, about this. Joe is a very confident person, anyone who knows Joe McMonagle. But I said, do you ever use this? He says, well, most of the time it doesn't really matter. I'm pretty good no matter any time, day or night. but he said if it was really sensitive, he might select a time based on that. One of the things I talk about in the book is how we can explain something like that. Why should the constellation Virgo affect when ESP is the best, is the strongest or most accurate? It turns out that Virgo is a very strange region of the universe called the Great Attractor, the Strange Attractor, where there's a large concentration of dark matter. Dark matter, in my theory and by the evidence I put forward in the book, is the same thing as one of the polarities of subtle energy. It's what we call the left-handed torsion, and it actually causes the gravitational effect, which astronomers are mystified by, and according to the Russian researchers, it also enhances ESP.
Mm.
So it appears to explain the anomaly.
Yeah, and I'd like to remind our listeners that we've just, you know, scratched the surface here, but if you want to learn more and you have an opportunity to attend our conference, Dr. Swanson will be giving an extensive presentation on all of these different kinds of subtle energies and how it relates to the afterlife and psychic communication, you know, as we talked about, you know, healing, astral, etheric layers, acupuncture, psychometry, dousing. We just, you know, you have to just come on every week for us to get through this material. You would. But I'd like to also remind our listeners that to get more information, you can go to synchronizetheuniverse.com. There's also a link on the Forever Family Foundation website, an Amazon link to both books. And if you'd, they're tremendous sources of material and that you'll be able to refer to for many years to come.
And if you love this interview, you can download it and keep it.
You can keep the interview, and we seem to have the iTunes worked out, so you can also listen on iTunes. Claude, thank you so much for joining us again, and we look forward to seeing you soon at the conference. And keep up the good work and keep us posted on all of the cutting-edge science.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, Florida. Thank you, Claude. Take care and good evening.
Okay,
and before I read my prayer to the Gulf, I just want to remind everybody that next week on Signs of Life Radio, we have Dr. Raymond Moody.
The father of near-death experience.
Mm-hmm. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, corals, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that was from Masuro Emoto, written on May 9th, 2010. And with that, I'd like to say our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.